Philippians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, and we've been talking for a number of weeks now on the subject of the Great Commission and Jesus' call for us to go and make disciples and really to build his church. Today is, I guess, officially the last message in this brief series that we've put together. And it's a message entitled, Gifted by the Spirit. So we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look at some verses from there. As we get started, a year ago this month, my son and I had this great idea to buy an old car. And the goal of this car is to rebuild it from scratch, just take the whole thing apart. And it's a part. Progress is a little slow. We haven't made a great deal of progress, but I get inspired, actually, when I go online and I read this forum that I found on old Jeeps, and I see other people doing the same thing we're doing. But I get a little jealous, too, because when I see the tools that they have, and I look at my rusty toolbox and the handful of wrenches I've got, and I know that I know how to change my oil, it can be a little intimidating. There are days when we go in the garage and look at that Jeep, the day we got it, actually, the next day I sat there with a cup of coffee and I thought, you're an idiot. You're in way over your head. But we'll, maybe 20 years from now, we'll have that thing back on the road. You know, building an old car, at times when we consider this call to go and make disciples and build God's church, I think for a lot of us, a lot of times it can be like sitting in my garage and looking at that Jeep and just wondering, what on earth are we supposed to do next? But thankfully, when we build the church, we're not building cars. God goes with us. And so as we've kind of been talking about what it means to fulfill the Great Commission, today I just want to encourage us to consider the gifts of the Spirit that God has for us in building his church. So I'm going to give a basic definition. I'm going to use a definition that someone else that I read about, and then I'm going to give you a definition that I've come up with when it comes to what actually is a spiritual gift. Wayne Grudem, in his Systematic Theology, defines a spiritual gift this way. He says, a spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So he says, it's any gift, it's an ability empowered by the Spirit to accomplish mission in the church. So I kind of was turning on that some, and Here's my definition. It's pretty close, but a spiritual gift is an ability that's given by God to his people to accomplish his purposes for his glory. So it's an ability that God gives to all of us. Each of us has some gift from God, and it's a gift that he alone has granted to us, and it's used for a purpose that he defines. So in this case, we're building the church. We're going and we're making disciples, and we're going to use the gifts that he's given us to do that. And when we do that, to God be the glory. Where if any good fruit is resulting, I think Daniel said that as he was kind of talking through with the new members. Any good fruit that God brings about in our life is an occasion to give him glory because he's the one that produced it in the first place. So when we build the church, I want to encourage us today from 1 Corinthians 12, we'll do so by the power of God that he'll work through us by the gifts that he's already given. And so why is this important? I think a lot of times each of us can ask questions like, you know, I look around the church and I see all these wonderfully gifted people, but then I see myself. You know, what's my part in building this place? Not the physical building, but the people of God. What does he intend for me to do? I see all these great things that other people can do, but I just know me. And I want to be encouraged today from the scriptures that tell us that God has a plan and a purpose and a gift for every one of us as we build what he is calling us to build. In other words, with the spiritual gifts, God will powerfully work through us to build his church. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read verse 1, and then I'm going to read from there verse 4 and following. This is Paul writing, and he says, now concerning the spiritual gifts, he's been addressing so many different subjects to the church in Corinth, the church that he helped to establish. He's writing now from a distance. So in the catalog of things that he's mentioning, he gets now to the place of spiritual gifts. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. It says in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let's pray. Lord, we do recognize that you give to us as members of your kingdom the call to go and build, the call to go and make disciples, the call to evangelize and to build up those in knowledge who, starting from the beginning like infants, Lord, need to grow and to know more about you. And we can't do that, Lord, if we're not doing that ourselves. And yet there's so much to this that is overwhelmingly challenging to us. And so, Lord, as we conclude this series on building the church and seeing the Great Commission as our commission, God, we conclude with just a look at the gifts, the spiritual gifts that you intend for us to have, so that we can be confident that you will powerfully work through us. So, God, open our eyes here this morning. There's nothing that I'm going to teach that isn't in some ways very common to all of us. And yet, Lord, we need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help us to see familiar things afresh. And God, it is my desire for all of us as members in your church, Lord, that you would inspire and challenge us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to pursue and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, that we might work well together and accomplish your good and perfect purposes. So for the time that we have in this sermon this morning, I pray, God, be glorified. Be glorified and do whatever even small work you want to do in our hearts to transform us and make us more like you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There was no shortage of gifts for this church in Corinth. And when Paul opened the letter, he commended them. He commended them that there was no lack of any gift in their church. So when there's this catalog of lists, there's nine gifts that are provided in this list. When he catalogs this list, you'll notice that he doesn't go to two great extremes here to explain what each one is. In fact, there's a few that are on here that this is the only place in Scripture that they're mentioned. And I think part of that is for this simple reason. Those gifts were abundant. They took place all the time. So Paul was referencing something to them that they were all too familiar with. And so it didn't require a great deal of explanation on his part. That's a little different for us. But I guess maybe it would be a little bit like, I think Daniel used the illustration last week of a cell phone, an iPhone. You know, I don't think people in our church need someone to explain to them what a smartphone is. It's a little bit like that with the gifts when you look at the church in Corinth. They were so familiar with, and the practice of those gifts was abundant on a regular basis, that no one had to stop to explain particularly what a word of wisdom was. But we're different. We need that. We need explanation. We need someone to help us to understand. We need context to practice these gifts. Now, I got one sermon. And so really what I want to do with this is I just want to talk generally about the gifts broadly. I'll talk a little bit about some of the gifts, but this is not intended to sort of go through and define what all of these nine things are. But maybe you're here today and I've read those things and you're thinking to yourself, surely you don't believe that those things are for today. Well, surely we do. We believe as a church that the gifts of the Spirit, including all the ones that I read to you here, they're active and present and should be practiced in the life of the local church. Now, if you'd like to know more about that, like to talk to us more about that, I would encourage you, please come and speak with one of us. Today is not the day to defend all that. But today is the day just to be encouraged with what the Scriptures have to call us to with these gifts that are ours. If these are ours and to function in the life of the church, and God will use them to build his church, then shouldn't we be those who eagerly desire them in our lives? So from this text today, I'm just going to draw on a couple of points. You have them on an outline. I want us to be inspired to, first of all, consider that these gifts that we have, they're gifted by God. We have been given them by God. I'll talk about the many gifts that God supplies to us in the Scriptures, and there are many gifts that are given to all. So among us, there are many gifts, and every one of us possesses one, or at least one. For the common good, there's a purpose for the gifts. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then lastly, I want us, one of my burdens as a pastor has been for some time now, that I just want us as a church to more and more expect God to do great things among us. That we would expect God to do wonderfully, magnificent, great things among us. And so when we come to the spiritual gifts, this is a place for that. So I want us to see how God's power works through his gifts to encourage us all the more to pursue them. So let's look first at being gifted by God. I'm going to do this very briefly. I think it, in most cases, really self-explanatory, but it's worth saying because Paul gives great repetition. You'll notice he repeated often the source of the gifts that were given to this church. And the repetition he uses, things like he says, same Spirit, same Lord, same God, same Spirit, empowered by the one and same Spirit. What's he getting at? He doesn't want this church to forget where these gifts came from and who gave them to him. Of course, they didn't need the explanation of what these particular things were. That wasn't their problem. Their problem wasn't cultivating gifts. Their problem was using the gifts in the right way, in the proper setting, and in the right manner. And so he has much to say, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, about these spiritual gifts, how they're to be used. But let's recognize that any good gift that we have comes from God. James says it this way. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift in his church. Now, when something magnificent happens, it's the temptation of every human being to take credit for it. And we do it in subtle ways. And so there's just two ways that I want to hold up to us as ways to be careful when it comes to our practice of spiritual gifts. One is this. There's always the temptation for us towards spiritual pride. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how mature we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. There is always the occasion, the temptation for spiritual pride. You know, if we faithfully practice a particular gift, and there are so many in this church that over the course of years, there has been an ongoing practice to the point where your reputation is known with that gift. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And I think that pattern is repeated throughout the New Testament where Paul talks about individuals and the service that they have and the place that they have in the life of the church. So much of it is connected to gifting. So when that reputation within us develops and others take notice, there is a challenge from time to time that we would just begin to get puffed up. So very basically, I think the challenge for us is to remember that. Remember that and resist the temptation, particularly when good fruit abounds. That it was God who worked that gift. It was God who gave us that gift. And it is God who is doing any good thing with that gift. I think there's a corollary to this as well, is that when we practice particular gifts in the context of the church, there is a temptation, I think, for some of us at times, or at least we should resist the temptation to fake it. Now, what do I mean by that? You have this reputation, and you're in a context where it's your call to serve. And on a regular basis, God is giving the inspiration to walk in a particular gift. You know, on that day, maybe even while everyone's looking, you don't have it. You know, you normally have that interpretation of a tongue, but today you got nothing. But yet within you, there's this draw in your heart that says, it's my responsibility, I need to act. God help us if we fake it, that we should step aside. It would be far better for us to remain silent than it would be for us to speak if it wasn't the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who speaks through us. Again, these are just kind of ordinary safeguards. I don't think I've just shared anything with anyone here that is new. But remember, it's God and God alone who gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So maybe one way that we can just practice for ourselves the humility in this area, it would be simply this. When God works through us, we thank him for it. When God does a good work in our lives, when he produces fruit through some kind of a gift in our life, the very just ordinary way of privately, quietly turning and giving thanks to God. Or with the people around you, notice that that was wonderful. Praise to God. Very simply, because in the end, it was God who gave that gift. With the spiritual gifts, God powerfully works through us to build his church. He grants the gift, but he grants many gifts, and he gives gifts to all. There's nine gifts that are listed in this particular passage. They're words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These nine are among a number of lists. On the back of your outline, and I thought I brought one, but it doesn't matter. You've got an outline on the back side. I just put some passages from the New Testament that also speak about gifts, that list gifts out. So, depending on how you count all these things up, there's 20-plus gifts in the New Testament that are listed as spiritual gifts. They're labeled as spiritual gifts in the New Testament. But I would caution us to remember that even with all of these lists combined, there are a wide variety of gifts. In other words, the lists that are given to us in Scripture, they are representative of the kind of gift that God gives his people, but they're not exclusive, or that's not the end of the road. He says it this way to the Corinthians. He says in verse 4, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, you'll see, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activity, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Varieties, that it's rendered that way, it's translated that way in the ESV. The Greek word is defined like this. It's diversity or distinction. And it's a diversity or distinction that particularly arises out of distributing differently to different people. So this variety means I give one to you, and 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 it's a broad variety. And it's distinct. What I gave you, what I gave you, what I gave you, they're very different things. There certainly can be overlap. But God is that particular when he gifts his church. So, if it is a broad, wide list of gifts, sometimes we just need to be challenged that the gifts of the Holy Spirit shouldn't just be exclusively put in that category of just those spectacular ones. You know, gifts of prophecy and tongues with interpretation and healing and miracles. Those are indeed gifts from God for his church today. But along with that list are also things like helping and administration. It is a wide list. It is a broad list. And so sometimes maybe we just get too focused on looking for some and we fail to see all. Sometimes our vision of God just needs to be bigger because he wants us to see with greater vision all of how he's gifted us as a church. In the many different ways that he's fit us together. He gives gifts not only in a broad measure, but he gives them individually to every member of his kingdom. In verse 6, it says, "It is the same God who empowers them in all in everyone." Or verse 11, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." Peter says it this way, "As each has received a gift," each one, "use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." I said earlier, I'm tempted to come to church and look around and see so many gifted, so many mature, so many people who are so much further along than I am, and to see the way that they serve and to see the gifts that God works through them, and I stop and I just ask myself, but what about me? God, what about me? I see them. I can't do that. What are you going to do with me? My friend, if you feel that way, well, join the club, because I think probably all of us at times feel that way. But if you feel that way, then be encouraged from these passages. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how mature or immature you might be, no matter how much of the Bible you still don't get, please understand this. God promises that every member of his kingdom will have his gifts. That's a promise. No one in the kingdom of God is left out. If you are a Christian, I promise you, you may not know what it is, but I promise you, God has gifted you. We're going to talk about what the gifting is for in just a minute, but please know that God has gifted you. You look at yourself and I'm a total loser. God has gifted you. You're made and crafted in his image, and he's given you a particular gift that he will use among his people, not just in general, but in this place. how encouraging that is when I get together with God's people and start to see things happen and recognize He has a part for me in that as well. He gives gifts to everyone in His kingdom. And He also is the great manager of every gift that He supplies. You just look around. I was looking at some stuff the other day. We are 20 years as a church. And there's like 500 and some odd people that go to different home groups in our church. So that's counting our children, right? But so imagine you've got hundreds of gifts and you've got to fit all that stuff together. Isn't it good to know that God is the great administrator of all this stuff and you're not leaving it up to anybody else? I mean, we have to work those things out, but God controls all that. Romans 12 says it this way. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. A human body is made up of so many different, diverse parts. Eyes are not hands. But every part depends upon the function of the others. And so when Paul writes this way, he's just giving us a picture of what does the body of Christ look like? All these diverse parts commissioned to work well together, to function together, and to depend on one another together. I was thinking about this. When I add a lot of stuff together, what do I produce? Usually just chaos. When I cook, it's generally chaos. All these different ingredients, and none of them complement one another. It's a total mess. When God adds different parts and pieces together, what does He make? He makes His church. He makes the body of Christ. He makes us together able to do what none of us by ourselves could ever do. We had 8 people sign up and want to become members today. Why? Because God is adding them to the church so that what they can produce with the gifts that He's given will be added to the rest and will produce something glorious that could never be created otherwise. Just imagine that. Say you were here 20 years ago. So this week was 20 years ago. This week, 21st I think it was the first Sunday meeting. And so I've talked to a couple of people in the last few weeks who were here on that meeting. So imagine you were here that day. And then imagine one of these folks that stood up here in front of our stage this morning, and they're at it this day, 20 years later. Think of God and the way that He plans. Long before there ever was a Sovereign Grace Church, long before we ever took breath, could it be possible that on that day, on that Sunday, He puts you there to join you with one of these young people down here, and together, very soon, God will use the two of you together to produce something from your gifts that will be a perfect complement. God plans like that. He builds like that. He adds us together like that. We sat with these guys last night, and we all got a chance to share our story. And I look at what God has done in the life of this church for the past 19 years that I've been here, and the small part that He's called me to play in that. And I just think, how magnificent of God, whoever would have thought. And yet everything that He's done has been perfect every step along the way. Not that we've been perfect, but He has produced good fruit because He is the one that gives such great gifts. It is God who functions with all this harmony among such diverse, different people. With the spiritual gifts, God powerfully works through us to build His church. He gifts all of us so many different gifts. He gifts each of us with a distinct gift and calls us to use it for a particular reason and purpose. You see, these gifts that were given from God, they're given for the purpose of the common good. God gives us a reason for the gifts that we have. Earlier, I defined the spiritual gift. I said it's an ability given by God to His people to accomplish His purposes, and He receives the glory. Now, when we faithfully practice the gifts that God has given to us, when we are faithful in these things and He produces good fruit in these things, ministry in the life of the church is born. Ministry takes place. But I think for every one of us, we need to remember when we're a part of ministry, it's His ministry. It's not ours. This isn't my ministry. This is God's ministry. What he does together with us, how he's growing us together, it is the work of God and God alone. And since this ministry belongs to him, since it's his and not ours, we take these gifts that he's given to us and we practice them in the way that fulfills his purpose and is according to his plan. He has prescribed for us ways that gifts are and are not to be practiced. And here he tells us that gifts have the intended purpose of producing good among God's people, the common good of God's people. Verse 7, to each is given a manifestation for what? For the common good. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, he says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's why he gave those gifts, to equip the saints for the ministry of service, to build up, to strengthen, to edify the body of Christ. He says it this way in chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians. He says, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, they were eager to see these things. He says, strive to excel in this thing. Strive to excel in building up the church. You know, when it comes to finding my gifting in the church, we should find where God has gifted us. It may not always be readily apparent to us, but when it comes to finding my gifts, there is a legitimate question that we should ask, and that's this. What do I like to do? What do I like to do? What am I good at? Those things get often revealed as we step out and serve, but what is it on my heart that really excites me that I want to do? That is a legitimate question. Our Heavenly Father, I think, would seldom give a gift to practice some kind of ministry that we would just frankly despise. He's going to give us good things. He's going to give us good things. That's a great question to ask, but I've got a much better question that every one of us ought to ask. When it comes to serving, when it comes to finding the way that God has gifted me in particular, I think the better question is, where can I serve that will bring the greatest blessing to other people around me? I want to do something that I enjoy. I do. You do. But the greater question is, God, how have you set me personally? How have you gifted me in a particular way that when I practice that gift that you've granted to me, Lord, you will bring benefit to those around me? Now, I know that most of what I've been saying kind of falls in this category of these regular things in our lives. The spiritual gifts are far more than just regular patterns. They're certainly not natural abilities. But there is an element of sort of growing and understanding, and there's spontaneity with the gifts, and yet they're still practicing them in such a way that it's routine for us. We've been down this road before, and every time we practice them, by the grace of God, by the power of God, we actually are better at it. And the better we are, the better able we are to serve people around us. I think when we discover the places that we are of greatest blessing to the people of God, I think we're on a much closer path to finding out what the true gifting is that God has given to us. I'll illustrate it this way. Years ago, before there was this building, before we met in here, We were like gypsies for a while, but by the time I got to the church, we were pretty settled in this one place. And so it was in an old mall, and we'd set up chairs every week. And you'd take down chairs every week, and you'd set up the stage every week, and you'd take it down every week. And so I had the opportunity to serve on that team. And so I got to see the worship team come in, and I thought, I'd love to play the drums. Because the drummer doesn't set the chairs up. He gets to play the cool drums. So I said, you know, I messed around with drums when I was a teenager. Could I try? And they said, sure. So I went to practice, and I didn't really know how to play the drums. I wasn't very good at the drums. And I never played the drums in church because it wouldn't bless my brothers and sisters. So I went back and set up chairs because I could do that, straight lines, how many we're supposed to have in the room. Maybe there's some questions that we want to ask ourselves as it comes to, God, where are you gifting me? Where is it that you've set me in the place of the church to be of blessing to other people? So really, the first maybe question would be something like this. Is there some current ministry in the life of our church? Is there some place? Maybe there's not even an opening right now, but there's a particular ministry in the life of our church where I really feel like I can use some gift to bless other people. I seem to have success when I pray for people. I have a gift of faith to trust God for big things. There's a need on the prayer team. I can join the prayer team. I can use that gift to bless other people so that when they come forward at the end of the meeting, I can pray for them. Establish ministry, something that exists in the life of the church. And I think that for a lot of us, that's generally the way that we find our place, where somebody found it for us. They'll come and ask us. But there's also another category, and this is certainly the case as our church has gotten larger, is maybe there are areas that you are particularly gifted in, and God brings you here for the very purpose that he wants to start something here that doesn't yet exist. That there's some new area of ministry that God wants to birth within our church, and you're one of the main reasons, your coming here is one of the main reasons to start that. And if that's the case, maybe you got to ask the question, so what do I do? Like, what would it look like for me to go and speak to my home group leader or one of the pastors and just share with them a burden that I have and a particular area of gifting that I think I possess and use that in such a way that there could be new ministry? We had a single and parenting ministry that was started, I guess, what, a year ago or so now. And that parent, that ministry was just care for single parents in our community. Just a merciful care with instruction and just a ton of folks that just invest and pour themselves out. And that was completely birthed out of a handful of people with a gifting, and right at that point, no particular place to serve because it didn't exist. And so they faithfully worked to establish that, and it has blessed many people. So I thank God for single and parenting. I thank God for the idea behind single and parenting, which is, Lord, do you have me here now to help to do something new so that we as a church could even more demonstrate this broad gifting of the Lord who has given us everyone? Maybe the other side of the questions would be something like this. Is my gift actually helpful to people? Is what I think I'm really good at, when I do it, are people blessed? Is it building them up? Does it point people to Christ, or does it just point them to me? So I think for a lot of us, the way to apply a message on the gifts is just that we would continue to earnestly desire and seek, and maybe for some of us, just find for the first time, Lord, how is it that you've gifted me? I want to be open to that. Well, simple questions. Simple questions we can ask in private, but sometimes maybe even questions that we should ask other people. Where do you think that my abilities and gifts would bless other people? With the spiritual gifts, God powerfully works through us to build his church. And when he works through our gifts, we will see others blessed. If in fact we are able to accomplish with these gifts that what God has called us to do, we will just look around and we will find that people are actually served. They are built up. They're more godly today than they were a year ago in some small way because of the ministry that God has worked through the gift in my life. It could be a spontaneous gift of an increased willingness to come and hear the revelation of God in a particular way and come and share a word on Sunday morning. It could be investing myself because I feel like I have this gift of helps and service and I'm just going to throw myself into other contexts where I haven't been before. Whatever it is, when I look around me, the wake that I've left behind me is people who are doing well. And if that's the case, then I think we're on to the right path. These gifts are given for the common good. But you know, I said from the beginning, one of my burdens as a pastor, one of my burdens for us as a church, is that more and more I want us to look to God and frankly expect him to do magnificent things. I want him to do great things among us. I want like you want. I want to see the power of God in tangible ways. I want to see the power of God through the preached word of God. I want to see the power of God through the skilled people who come and lead us in worship on Sunday morning. But I also want to see the power of God in the spontaneous gifts that he brings, whether it's here as we meet on Sunday, or whether it's when we get together in our home groups, wherever it might be, when we gather together, two or more from this church, the Holy Spirit is among us, and he will gift us, and he will bless us. And so I want us as a church to be those who just all the more are excited for what God's going to do next. And I've said this a couple of times before as I've spoken. I've been so encouraged over the last year to see what God has been up to in our lives when he has poured the Spirit out in our midst. It's not been perfect. I look at our youth group and I think, there's a ton of things. I got some of them last night from some folks, some things about youth group they'd love to see change. But here's one thing that I've noticed. A group of young people who hunger for God, and they've been praying for one another, and the Spirit of God has come and it's fallen upon them, and he's producing great fruit. I love that. I want to see more of that, and I know you do too. What does this have to do with the gifts? It has to do with the fact that God intends to powerfully work through us, and his power will be manifest when these gifts are practiced. There is a cooperative effort on our part. There's a place where we simply say, I'm going to do this, and it's going to take faith to step out. But it's also faith that's met with, God will meet me there. And if he produces any good thing, then it was him in the first place. And I expect that he's going to do that. I want us to come to church on Sunday morning and just know that God will meet us here, and he will do powerful things because he's brought us together, and he intends to use his gifts to bless everyone present. You know, to witness some of these gifts, like miracles or healing or certain speaking gifts, when they're properly practiced, it indeed is a sight to behold. It's difficult to see some of these gifts, those pronounced spectacular gifts. It's difficult to see those things practiced and say, huh, I wonder if that was God. Clearly, God is in this place. That's the response when we see the power of the Holy Spirit working through gifts in his church. What a sight that is. This is a picture, a glimpse into sort of an occasion like that. This is the kind of thing that here's a group of people, God's people, that cry out to him, and he acts. This is from the book of Acts. This is from chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. This is the apostles. They've just been, in some sense, persecuted. They've been tried. This is Peter and John. They've been tried, and they've been scolded, and they've been beaten, in a sense, and they've been sent off on their own, and sort of like, go away now, and hide, and don't come back. And so here they get together and they say, now, Lord, they gather together in a place. Some among them, not the apostles, but some of their followers are hidden because this is a bold declaration. They're standing in public and they say, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Saying, do these gifts, God. And after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's the story of the book of Acts, right? That this small group of people, sort of hidden, hiding, waiting, and by the end of the book, they're the people who turn the world upside down. It's because they've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are demonstrated time and time again, where someone is healed, a word is spoken, tongues are given. All these things to get people's attention that God surely is in this place. Not every time we gather together, the place is going to be shaken. I hope in some ways it doesn't. We'll have a lot of lights to replace. But maybe we ought to come expecting God will shake this place, or at least shake the hearts that are in this place, because surely he is in this place, that the gifts of the Spirit are powerful, and they're working, and they're transforming our lives. Let me give an example of the power of God that works through speaking gifts. There's a number of gifts that are listed in this list. I said I didn't, this is not the context. Maybe we ought to have a whole series or a seminar on the gifts themselves and describe them each in particular. But there's a number of them that are listed here. Things like the utterance of wisdom or the utterance of knowledge. And those actually, this is the only place in Scripture, this is the only place in the New Testament that those are listed, no description. Lots of debate about what those actually are. But words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and prophecy, these are all mentioned in this particular text, something that this group of folks would have been very familiar with. No matter how we can decide how those things are, what they really are, no matter how we might debate those things, I think from this text, and certainly a number of texts from Scripture, there's a number of things about each of these gifts that I think we should all agree on. Number one, well, they are gifts from the Holy Spirit. Utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, prophecy. They come from the Holy Spirit. Number two, they involve God revealing privately information to some. It's God giving privately some revelation, some information to some person present. And he's not necessarily giving it to them all. I'll talk about sort of the safeguards in just a minute. But there's something about these gifts. They're speaking gifts, but they're not speaking until they've first heard. We hear something. The person who has this gift hears something from God. And then lastly, in order to actually exercise the gift, they have to speak. So what God said privately to a person, they speak so others present might know what God said. Now, like I said, there's important safeguards. I've been talking for some time now about these spiritual gifts, and when it gets to places like, you mentioned the word revelation. What do you mean by that? Not revelation in the sense that we have the opportunity today to write new scripture. The canon is closed. When we talk about God revealing something to us, we're not talking about something that is contrary to the word of God. In fact, that's one of the first tests that you would have. For any speaking gift in the context of the church, you'd evaluate what is said against the truth of scripture. And if what is shared by someone prophetically, this word of wisdom, this word of knowledge, if it's conflicting with scripture, then throw it out. That's a safeguard for us. Whatever is shared must be consistent with the scriptures. We're not writing new scripture. We also recognize that when these speaking gifts are given, we certainly have them in the context here, that there's a certain amount of discernment, because scripture calls for discernment, that what gift is given, the discernment of others is weighing. So we our practice is that there would be some individual here, Lord willing, with a gift of discernment, so that if you come forward and the music's playing and you feel like you've got a burden from the Lord to share and you have a gift you'd like to share, you're going to whisper in the ear of the person there what it is that the Lord has laid upon your heart. That person, he's not going to do it perfectly, but his job is to discern. Discern, is that from the Lord? Discern, how does that fit in this context, in this meeting? To discern a number of things. So, for the guy who at times has to exercise that discernment, we don't always get it right, okay? So, it's just now it's God working perfect gifts through imperfect people. But there is this element of discernment that is absolutely necessary. And then we also just finally test. What words are shared, these speaking gifts, when these things take place, is the result that God's people are built up? The prophetic word of gloom and doom, I believe, is inconsistent with what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that these words are intended to build up and to edify. So if we happen to share a word that is nothing like that, then I think, indeed, we can throw that out. Nothing that is shared through any of these speaking gifts rises to the same level of the authoritative, instructive word of God. And yet, Phil put it to me this week as we were kind of talking through these things. He said, you need to understand something about these speaking gifts. This is great encouragement to me. God can and he will spontaneously tell you things that you couldn't otherwise know in any other way. He can and he will. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God can and he will tell one of us something that none of us would ever know except through that gift? And if you're the one of us, then the burden of the Lord lays heavy to say, I've got to share this. It is my responsibility to practice this gift means I speak up. And I speak up with all those safeguards there, but I submit myself to that and say, Lord, if it's your will, if this is your word, then surely someone here would be blessed. That's the sort of general framework behind all that we're trying to do. And there's waves and things that go back and forth and trying to work all those things out. But friends, let's recognize that God can and he will spontaneously speak to us. And he's going to give information that we otherwise could not know when these gifts are practiced. And so for those of us, when he gives that gift, it is an honor to share it to the others who are around us. And we are willing to submit that to whatever process that should include. And I just want to say this, that I'm teaching. I'm teaching right now. Nothing about what I've said to you is prophetic. It's just a lot of reading, a lot of study, a lot of consideration. But you know, when we sang a song earlier today, I couldn't do this because I couldn't get a hold of my emotions. But I'm just going to share it. I think this could be prophetic. This is what I have in mind, a spontaneous word. We sang a verse and it said, a love that will not let me go. Immediately. I can't do it. Immediately, I get a picture. I get a picture of a young child who's trying to wrestle away from their mom and dad. and they say, let me go. And I think what the Lord was wanting to tell us is there's at least one person here. That you're trying to wrangle your way away from God and say, let me go. And Jesus says, I died for you with a love that will never, ever let you go. You evaluate that. Sorry, Walt. Couldn't get there before. Friends, get to this type. Very welcome part. A necessary part when we gather. We've got all sorts of checklists and things that we want to do when we gather together as God's people. Let's make certain of this. There's room for the gifting of God to work in spontaneous ways. It is no small thing. It is no small thing for one person. This is a pressure nobody's going to come up, right? There's no small thing for one person to come forward and effectively be able to interrupt all of the corporate worship that's going on, all of the congregational song, which is a means of grace to us. It is no small thing to stop all that for that person to speak. But please don't let that be a discouragement to you. Let that be an appropriate challenge. When the Spirit of God lays heavy upon our hearts, that He is intending right now to say something to all of us that we wouldn't otherwise know, except that He has now given us this revelation, and it is our joy to share it, then we'll gladly all be silent. And we'll listen to what He has to say. So maybe for us, it's just a matter of, is that what's on my heart when God is calling me up out of my seat? Is that what He's laid upon my heart? We're not going to get it perfectly. We're not looking for the place to shake. But we are looking for, is this something that God wants to tell us that we wouldn't otherwise know? And He wants us to know right now. When these things happen, the power of God is evident to all. This is what Paul says in chapter 14. He describes a situation that would be like this. He says, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God really is among you. That a gift of prophecy, rightly exercised, would bring the person who came through the doors and didn't know Him, reveal the sins of their life, and they would draw no other conclusion, but God truly is in this place. Or for all of us to behold that God would use such gifts in our church, speaking gifts, serving gifts, whatever it might be. Daniel said, the testimony of these young people last night, my testimony, mere 19 years ago. These people are serious about what it means to be a Christian. There's something different about their lives. And for 19 years, if you've been faking it, you've done a great job. It's the power of God, and it's the gifting of God to do something that no person could ever create. God truly is in this place. Amen? With the spiritual gifts, God powerfully works through us, and He will build His church. God wants to work powerfully through every one of us. Some in the most spectacular gifts, some in the most ordinary gifts. But every one of them is God powerfully working through those gifts, and He wants every one of you. You're a Christian here right now. I'll tell you, God wants to work with every one of you. He wants to work those things through you. And can you imagine, just even a small part of that, as we get to each play our part, what kind of a church that would be? Well, I think the right way to apply a message like this for a lot of us is just simply, I want to know how God gifts me. I want to know what those gifts are. Some of you know. A lot of us don't. And so as I kind of prayed through this, I felt like probably the best way to end is to end with some just good reminders of what would it look like for a person who just says, I want to know more about how God plans to use me. Well, I think the first place to start with that would be something simple as study the gifts. Understand the gifts. Read the scriptures. Read other books. This is a book. This is from Sam Storms. We carry this in our bookstore. It's called The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts. This book is actually his write-up of the verses that I just preached on. So it's his description of every one of those gifts. So I didn't have time to tell you what each of these are, but he does that, and so do so many other people. You can read Systematic Theology. Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology has some great chapters on spiritual gifts. The point being is that, how am I gifted? Well, how will I know it when I see it if I don't even know what it is? Study the Word of God. Find out what these gifts are and what they're not, and when they're to be used and when they're not, and be open to God using you with those particular gifts. We're all excited when we see gifts in the church, but it's difficult to find our place in the midst of that. So study them. Be prepared for them. Seek the giver through prayer. I'll study the gifts, but I go to the one who gives them in the first place. I come to God in prayer. I say, God, give me what I don't have. Give me what I can't see that maybe I already have, but God, give. And the scriptures say, you don't have because you don't ask. Let that not be the case for us. Let us ask. How much of my prayer is given to God, give me the gifts that you intend to serve your people. If Paul said to Timothy, he says, I want you to fan into flame the gift that's within you that was given to you by the laying on of hands. You know, so praying for one another. Tonight there's going to be a group of us gathered. We're going to praise God. We're going to pray. Lord willing, one of the things that we'll be praying for is each other, that we'll be laying hands on one another, praying that God would give us the gifts that are required to go and meet the unbelievers in our life. I want to be more gifted as an evangelist. Pray for one another that God would give that gift. I know for me, one of the things that has been so helpful, I had no church background like this. It wasn't like I came from a place that was kind of like this. It was nothing like this. I've learned over the years a lot about gifts by watching gifted people. I go and learn from them. I ask questions from them. You want to be more prophetic? Go talk to a prophet. Go spend time with somebody who is regularly demonstrating the kind of thing that you think in yourself. I think that's there, but I want to know more about that. Well, let me find somebody who actually walks in that, who's more regular in those things, and just pepper them with questions and ask. They would be certainly willing to help. And then I think last, anytime we go to find our gift, it's always born out in just simply stepping out in faith. Stepping out in faith. Stepping out in faith that God will give me what I need right now. Particularly if it requires me looking silly if he doesn't deliver. God, help me not to be fearful. I want to serve and use this gift. I want this gift. You know, Paul says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. He says, earnestly desire certain gifts, the higher gifts, the gifts that are used in the context of a public meeting, the one that most benefit all of God's people. He says, I want you to desire the gifts, but go for those especially, because that's the place. You get where the church is gathered, you have the greatest opportunity to bring the greatest benefit when everybody's there. Earnestly desire those, he says. But then even for us, it's just a matter of stepping out. You know, maybe it's God lays that burden pretty heavy. He's given you some word to share during worship, and it's coming forward, and it's whispering to the person on the mic, I'm not sure they're going to let me up. Don't worry about that. That's their job, not yours. Step out in faith, and God will meet you there. Amen? Amen. Well, we have some time. And of course, I didn't communicate this to anyone. We'll have some folks who are going to be here to pray. And I want to encourage anyone in particular, if you desire to be prayed for, that God would give you gifts of the Holy Spirit, that he would give you discernment on what those gifts are and opportunity to practice those things, I want to invite you to come forward and to be prayed for and to know that God will meet you there with the gifts that are already present here in the church. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Oh, I'll invite the worship team up. Sorry about that. Lord, thank you for the inspiration and challenge of your word. God, I thank you that there is a place for us, as weak, as insufficient, as incomplete Christians, that there is a place for us to serve. There's a place for us to act. And there's a place for us to build your church. And you promise it'll be that way because you promise that you will give us the gifts that are necessary to serve. So God, I pray for every one of us that are here, Lord, that you would give us a greater discernment of how it is that you've gifted us and a greater willingness to step out in faith so that we might bless our brothers and sisters. Lord, be glorified. Thank you for planting us in this church. Thank you for numbering us with one another. Thank you that despite all of our differences and the ways in which we may have even our own conflicts, God, you have ordained that we are here. And you have ordained that the gifts that you've given to us would be used to bless one another. So, Lord, I pray that we would taste more and more of that fruit, and you would be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.
Stand.
Not to us, but to your name alone be all the glory, the glory forever. For your faithfulness and steadfast love receive the glory, the glory belongs to you. All that we've accomplished, you have done for us. Any fruit we harvest is a gift from your hand. We are only jars of clay that hold a priceless treasure.
We exist to bring
you pleasure, O God. Not to us, but to your name alone be all the glory, the glory forever. For your faithfulness and steadfast love receive the glory, the glory. Can we come to you? We deserve your judgment. You have called us by name. So glory in the cross of Christ that made us yours forever.
We joined our lives
together to sing.
Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our heart to sense your Spirit, that we might submit our lives and our gifts to your will for the good of the church, that we would not simply baptize our hobbies, but that you would change the desires of our heart to conform to your will and to the pattern that you would have your church to follow. Grant us humility, Lord. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. For the visitors, there is a table out front. We'd love to meet you there. For those who would like prayer, there will be prayer up front. Thanks.